Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Proverbs. It's found on page 695, and we read Proverbs chapter 25, beginning at verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of the kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end? When your neighbors puts you to shame, argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, found on page 1294, and we read Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those who devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. The bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. To him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1117. And we read Luke 14, beginning at verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. So when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends and your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. In particular, these verses from Hebrews 13. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of to you, the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." This is our text. There are those who would contend that change is a good thing. My wife and I did a little appliance shopping this last weekend. Down through the years, we brought a lot of appliances from Sears. Have you gone by their store lately?
Yeah.
It ain't there anymore. Sears was at one time one of the largest retailers in the United States, and now it's on the verge of bankruptcy. Go ask a Sears employee if they think change is good. They'll probably tell you, "Yeah, not so much." How many of you, when you were young, could travel, let's say a half mile, maybe even a mile away from home as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, and your mom would even pack a lunch for you? You would. Your mother did that today, she would be arrested for child neglect. Change is not always good. And the pace of it seems to be increasing in our culture. And it becomes unsettling to us. We get used to doing things a certain way, and then all of a sudden it changes. And just to begin, when we begin to get used to doing it that way, another change comes along. And so these words of Hebrews chapter 13, in our ever-changing and quickening changing world, are of great comfort. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. It's an actual Bible verse in, I believe, Malachi. The promises that God makes to us, they don't change. One of the things we did today is we went through our worship service, and we do it almost every worship service. We said the Nicene Creed. It describes to us who God is, as well as the Apostles' Creed. If you were on this planet 1,700 years ago, that was your confession about who God is. That's who he still is. He hasn't changed one bit. And so, whether he makes a promise to you today or yesterday or in the future, one thing you can be sure of, that promise will not change. Jesus died for our sins and rose so that we might have the hope of an eternal life with him in heaven. While that happened 2,000 years ago, it's still true for us today. As Christians, we don't wonder about what's going to happen to us when we die. We know what is going to happen to us when we die. Not because of our own righteousness, because we believe in this Jesus who is the same yesterday and today and forever. There are times in our lives when we do wrong. And yes, we need to confess that and to seek God's forgiveness. But when we do so, God's word to us, whether it was spoken 2,000 years ago or today, is still the same. He forgives us. And he bids us to put that sin behind us and move forward in life, knowing that he is going to be with us, to comfort us, to help us. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What can man do to me? Those words are 2,000 years old. While they were spoken so long ago, they are still true for us today. In a world that is changing faster and faster, we have a solid anchor upon which to anchor our lives. As God does not change, his word does not change. But that is not just true of all the promises that God makes to us. It's also true about God's guidance to us. It's also true about how God made us. God's, if you will for our lives is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And to help us understand that, the author of Hebrews says, not only look to the Word of God, but remember your leaders. those who spoke to you with the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. In a way, what he's saying is, here is the word, but look at the word of God and how it affects people who live according to it. Look at what it brings into their lives and what it keeps out of their lives. And you will find confirmation, if you will, that the word of God works. And friends, that was not just true 2,000 years ago. It's still true today. God created us male and female with a design for how we are to live in relationship with one another as male and female. Today we're running out of letters of the alphabet to define gender. Consider the outcome of that way of life. Oh, there may be things that brings in a worldly sense to the lives of those who live contrary to the word of God. But remember what it is that God promises to you in his word. Would you trust him and love him and follow in his steps? He does not promise you popularity in the world. He does not promise you great wealth. But he does promise you joy, peace, happiness, love. The highest suicide rates in our culture are amongst those whose, if you will, gender doesn't fit the original letters M and F. Rates of alcoholism, drug abuse, depression. The further you get from the way the Word of God describes how you should live, the more those things increase in the lives of people. And by the way, that's not just a guess. That's every study that's ever been done on the subject. When you look at families that depart from God's model given in Scripture, and look at children raised in those families, and then look at high school graduation rates, drug or alcohol abuse in the children, or any other kind of measure as to how happiness, love, joy, and peace are in their lives. The further you get away from the biblical model, all those, if you will, statistics increase. In a typical mom and dad joined together in marriage family, compared to a single parent living with someone else, the rates of child abuse increase 33 times. It doesn't work. And it will never work. Because God designed us to work, if you will, in a certain way. The heavenly life that he calls us to is not a life of our choosing. It is the life that he designed for us. And the world around us is trying to redefine that life for us. And is mocking us for not going along with it. Persecuting us. Even threatening our jobs if we don't use the right letter of the alphabet to identify someone. But look at what it brings when we don't live by the biblical model. And then compare that with what it brings when we do. Look at your leaders. Those who are in church on a regular basis. Those who share the Word of God with their children. Who, as they're sitting with them in the pews, are helping them learn how to worship. Who give love as they are loved, as Christ would have us do. And look at what it yields. Maybe not rich kids. Maybe not the most popular kid in school. But as studies do show, if you want a eighth grader with the highest level of self-esteem, confidence, according to secular studies, what's the number one thing you can do for them? And I don't make this stuff up. This is true. Make sure they're in church every weekend. Remember your leaders. Those who spoke to you the word of God and also practiced it. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The life that he wills for us will never change. It is the life that he has prepared for us to live forever with him in heaven. And also the promises that he makes to us. The promise of forgiveness when we do stray from that life. The promise to be with us as we return to him. And the promise to give us a life eternal with him in heaven. None of that will ever change. Because God never changes. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.